This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik filling in for Dan Hurley. Young people with disabilities, whether physical or cognitive, need extra help getting ready to transition from a school environment where things are carefully ordered to the world of work and independent living. That's why the Center for Independent Living Options created YOLO, Youth Overcoming Life Obstacles, for teens and young adults between the ages of 14 and 21. Dan Hurley recently spoke to Center for Independent Living Options Director Debbie Morehouse and Youth Transition Coordinator Jennifer Krell about the center's Youth Overcoming Life Obstacles.
Well, I want to welcome Debbie Morehouse and Jennifer Krell from SILO, from the Center for Independent Living Options, and it's great to have you here this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And Debbie, let's begin. I'm not sure everybody knows what the Center for Independent Living Options, what SILO is and what it does. Sort of, how long has it been around? What's its role in the community?
I'm more than happy to talk about SILO. We are 41 years old, serving Greater Cincinnati and Northern Kentucky, and our services are for people with any type of disability, any age. We are unique from other social service agencies in the fact that 51% of our staff and board are people with disabilities who are in a position to best know what people with disabilities need to become independent. And our goal for all people is to be empowered to live an independent and inclusive life in the community.
So that whole approach of being on the board level, on the staff level, advisory boards, having people with disability who are being served by the agency really is different and not top-down model.
Correct.
So when we're talking about disabilities, what range of disabilities are we talking about?
Cognitive, sensory, physical, or psychological disabilities, and almost all diagnoses fall underneath one of those categories.
Okay. So it's not just physical disabilities.
No,
it's not. It could be cognitive. It could be anything. So
yeah. And I think that's what people sometimes forget about is there's visible disabilities and then there's invisible disabilities. So you might be speaking with someone and you don't know what's going on in their life. So I think that's really cool.
Correct. You would not walk into our office and be able to identify the 51% of the employees mm-hmm. with a disability.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Jennifer, you manage the Youth Overcoming Life Obstacles program,
yes.
YOLO, which started when we're taping this. It started just this week.
Yes.
So,
it did.
But this program's been around for a little while.
Yeah.
So, what is the goal of the program? What are you trying to do in this program?
Yeah. So, this is our sixth year of YOLO, and it is a transition summer program. So, we are working with high school age students. And when we say transition age, that means 14 to 21 through their 21st birthday. And that's same as in the school system. Transition age is getting them ready to transition out of school and into the community, into work, into another post-secondary program, into college. And so this, we do call it a summer camp because we do have fun, but it's a transition program and we are getting them ready for that.
And Debbie, you've been around SILO for a while. This program, as Jennifer just said, was 6 years old. Have you seen an evolution in the program?
Oh, absolutely. When I came to SILO, I was thrilled that they had this youth transition summer program. But when I went there and observed or helped out as needed, I found that it was a lot of arts and crafts. And we had students coloring and snacking. And there was just this loss of transition in the program. I was asked 2 years ago to kind of take it and raise the bar for the program, and I jumped at that opportunity because I am a parent of an individual with a disability. So I gauged a lot of my decisions on what would I want for her. Mm-hmm. And I identified Jen before last year's program. She was not available to come to us until October, And what I've seen already, just I visited this week, Jen has control of this room, and she is going to have transition as first and foremost in the program. And I've seen some of the students already start to move towards that unified program instead of sitting off in the corner and doing what they choose to do. Jen has made them feel safe and secure, and they're moving into the circle. And that's exactly what we want it to happen.
So moving from marking time to doing something that's purposeful. So,
yes, and contributing and participating in an active way.
So Jen, you know, for the people in the program, and how many people are in the program this summer?
So right now we have 20. We have a solid 20, and it's a good group.
And so what is it that you have constructed that you believe helps transition them from sort of the structures of school, of an academic environment, that get them ready to move out beyond that?
Yeah. And I think I'll back up a little bit, and I think why it's becoming so successful is because of both Debbie's parent perspective, and I'm actually a former Cincinnati public school teacher, so I have been in that academic setting. I had my own multiple disability unit within the CPS
school. So you're a special education teacher.
Yeah, that's my degree.
You're trained in that
area. Yeah, and so I did that. I volunteered and interned throughout college in several schools, and then I was professionally a teacher for 2 years, and it was a wonderful experience, and it really grounded me and gave me such a solid foundation for what students with disabilities need and what, you know, the big push for employment is. And as a teacher, you only have these kids for 7 hours a day, and there's specials, and you have to teach academics, and you have to do this. And high school, you know, there's drama that comes with that. And so you can only do so much as a teacher. Schools can only do so much. At home, you can only do so much. So this program is really bridging that gap and really filling in all those cracks. And whereas some of these students might have been sitting at home all summer playing video games, which, you know, video games are totally fine, but this is getting them out into community and meeting new people, meeting new faces, participating, being an active member of this group of kids, of this program, and, you know, the community of Cincinnati. And so, yeah, the...
So for some of the range is 14 to 21.
Mm-hmm.
For, say, older people who are in the program who may be getting really close to making a move either to post-high school education environment in a four-year college or in a community college or whatever, or actually moving on into a job role, what are the skills that they need to develop? What are you trying to focus on?
Yeah, and so at,
how do you do it?
Yeah, at YOLO, you know, we don't have a job site where we're learning how to assemble something or learning how to bag groceries or stock shelves. But it's through the activities that we do that they learn how to communicate successfully, how to problem solve. Socialization is so important, developing interpersonal skills, just sitting down with new faces and introducing themselves, making eye contact, shaking hands, using manners, being polite, welcoming new people to the group and thanking people for coming and visiting us. Those simple things make such a huge difference. And so communication is a huge thing, making decisions, being independent. I mean, something as simple as picking out their own healthy snack that they have at noon every day, us not giving them applesauce, saying, this is what you're going to eat. They get to choose out of a variety of things. We have a lot of discussions, both large group discussions and small group discussions, and those look different. And we encourage every student, no matter their own communication level, to participate, whether it just be sitting in the group, turning their bodies to the group, asking questions.
So what I hear is what I think in the job readiness world is often talked about as the soft skills.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
soft skills.
It's not the specifics of how to do, you know, do this process in a manufacturing arena or how to do this with a computer. But how do you get along with people in the workplace?
Yep.
How do you understand what workplaces expect of you, and how do you
Absolutely.
Make it work for you? So that's
Yep.
that's kind of what I'm hearing.
Absolutely, because no matter what job they go to, and there's so many opportunities out there, those jobs will be able to teach those hard skills. What do you need to do at this specific job? But it's those soft skills that kind of fall through the cracks.
And would, Debbie, I'd ask you this question because you have a daughter who has some disability. Do young people with disabilities maybe get protected a little more and therefore may not develop these basic play as some other people?
I think that's absolutely true. I think a lot of people will say, well, she did okay, but we want her to do really well. So there's a difference between that. And we believe in this YOLO program that everybody can do it well.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to give them every opportunity. And I, as I listen to Jen, she's right on the mark with this, but she's not doing this program by herself. We have three fabulous mm-hmm. interns from the Cincinnati Youth Collaborative that are recent high school graduates. And they're providing some of that peer support as well.
Yeah.
They're 18 years old, fresh out of high school. So,
so
they're developing skills as well.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they've just really blended yeah. well with the students, and they're providing great support to Jen. And
yeah.
that's a great opportunity for our program, too.
And it's exactly what Debbie said, is they're developing skills as well. You know, disability or not, everyone is.
What sort of backgrounds did you look for when you wanted to hire those three people?
We acquired them. We didn't hire them. It's a
CYC. It's
through the summer work experience opportunity. So they identify the students based on what their career goal is. So we have one that wants to be a social worker, and one
yeah.
wants to be a psychologist, and the other one wants to go into business management. So they kind of match them to our program.
Another great organization in town.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They've
yeah.
been great to work with.
So, okay. So when you have you said before in talking about what you're trying to accomplish in this transition period,
mm-hmm.
and you just mentioned, you said, well, there's so many jobs out there.
Yeah.
Now, people who may be listening to this, those of us who maybe don't have a child or a relative with a disability, what is it? What's the job opportunity situation? Mm. And, of course, this is all over the map because disabilities
yeah.
can mean a whole bunch of different things.
Yes.
But, as a way to get this started,
mm-hmm.
what are those job opportunities that you seemed really positive about?
And that is the million-dollar question. It really is. And I know, employment is a struggle for a number of reasons, especially like transportation. But the job opportunity, with my other program that I do with students with disabilities, bagging groceries at Kroger is a perfectly fine job. That's a great job, especially for a lot of people.
And Kroger's is a real commitment to hiring.
And has it, and that's wonderful. But it's not the only option. And I encourage all students to figure out what they like, what they are good at, what they are interested in. Whether it be art or working with people or working with technology. I've seen so many students with disabilities who are so into technology, and a huge job opportunity nowadays is computer security in the internet hacking.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many job opportunities for that.
Now, I know you're early in this program this summer, but are you sort of raising those, getting students to talk about what they want
mm-hmm.
to do and also
Absolutely.
Maybe making suggestions?
Yep.
You do these things and you may not even recognize it has a job
yep.
potential to it.
Exactly. And, it's hard to have a job and work somewhere if you don't really enjoy it. Whether you have a disability or not, you have to enjoy your work to want to do it, to want to show up, to be motivated, to grow in that position. And so, yeah, we talk a lot about job opportunities, and we're bringing in a lot of people from the community to talk about their jobs or talk about what they do or the options out there. We have someone who we work with at our agency who's going to come in and do an art project with them because she's an artist on the side. So she has two jobs. She's an artist and she works for our agency. And so that's always an option. It's not just, you know, I think some students get pigeonholed into one thing because they think that's the only opportunity out there.
Right.
Where there is, if you look and you find it, there can be really something special for everyone.
And I'm really reminded of a dinner conversation, actually, that I hosted a decade ago when I was with Leadership Cincinnati on job opportunities for people with disabilities. And we invited people who had a variety of disabilities, worked with Silo, actually, to identify who to invite. And then members of Leadership Cincinnati who came from a variety of businesses, and I can still remember this one attorney with a major firm in town. At the end of the dinner, he just said, "We've just never even thought about mm-hmm. this because mm-hmm. if it's just a matter of a couple of little accommodations
exactly.
in terms of desk shape
yep.
or whatever, we can accommodate a lot of different people
mm-hmm.
and but we've never even thought about it." So does Silo try to work with businesses to broaden their perspective about what's possible?
We do advocacy, and if someone's not sure whether or not their facility is accessible, we can do an accessibility survey for them. I think those are simple accommodations usually that people can make. Our office is a prime example of making physical accommodations for people. But any young adult who has a disability and goes to an interview and makes eye contact and shakes your hand, I think they've already got a foot in the door
yeah.
there, because that's unique in itself and it shows that this student is prepared. And I think that's what we're doing, is preparing them for what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And not all students are going to go into employment. So we're also giving them an opportunity to look at some day programming that
yeah.
would be more focused on art, or day programming that is focused on community activities, because employment is not for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to make sure that everyone gets a choice in what their next step is.
So you have 20 young people in this program this summer.
Mm-hmm.
What's it cost to – I mean, this is pretty intensive programming. So what's it cost to be a part of this program?
The student does not pay to participate. It is free for the students. So Silo historically has covered the costs. We've been on, you know, bare bones budget for this. This year we were very fortunate to have the funding from the Charles H. Dater Foundation. And they were generous enough with
yeah.
us that we would probably be able to raise the bar for the next year as well. But easily $10,000 could get us through a six-week program.
Yeah. And the St. Monica's St. George Catholic Center.
The parish,
In yeah. Clifton is hosting our program for free. And they have all 6 years, or how long have they been
doing
that?
No, this is our third year there.
Yeah.
In the big undercroft there, and they
mm-hmm. the
old
cafeteria.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great space.
Yeah, they're so – we really feel
lucky. Right off
lucky.
The parking lot,
yep.
so easy access. And,
yeah, and accessible.
And whatever. So,
yep.
so we're really now talking a little bit about the future
mm-hmm.
of the program. But Jennifer, I want to go back to you. You work as a teacher. You work
mm-hmm.
with individuals. How do you measure your success in this environment?
Oh, that's a really good question. I've worked with young people almost my whole life, from babysitting to nannying to mentoring to volunteering, and that's just something that I love. And when there's been times in my life where I'm not working with young people, I think my loved ones can see a difference in me. And so when I work with young people, especially this population, I'm so passionate and happy. And so as long as they've had, I know it sounds kind of simple and silly, but as long as they're leaving smiling and they've had a good day, that is a successful day to me.
Debbie, as a parent, what markers of success do you look for?
I think when the, I hesitate to call them children because they're in that transitional yes. age, but when the students go home and they're willing to come back, that's a success in itself. But when the parents are communicating with us saying, wow, they're sharing information with us, they had a good time. When we're getting feedback at the end of the program, we do the last day is Yolo's Got Talent, mm-hmm. and everybody gets an award for some strength that we've noticed in them. That's true success of the yeah. program, because it's changed how some of these people view themselves and their personal relationships with other students. The parents are happy. That's the success of it.
And more specifically, and kind of going back to the raising the bar that we're striving for, is we do have a young lady in our program who's been doing it for 3 years. And she really enjoyed, like, building blocks of the past couple years and doing some coloring. But this year, she's been part of the group every day. I mean, we only have had 2 days, but she's been part of the group. And she's actually stood up and introduced herself. And she wrote her full name on an activity that we were doing this year. So I think with all our new faces and our 3 new interns and us encouraging every single participant to be an active member of the group, and seeing her already making huge strides in these first couple days this year, that is like such a success already.
I think we've set ourselves up for success mm-hmm. this year. There's a lot of good things in the right place this year, and
well,
I'm very excited.
I want to congratulate both of you.
Thank you.
We've been focusing on YOLO, the summer program, mm-hmm. but SILO, the Center for Independent Living Options, has a lot of programs, and the website's going to be available just through our website. People can get to it, and I encourage people to take a look at this. So thank you very much
here
today
yes.
and for this work you're going to do all summer long, and I hope that 5 weeks from now you're still as enthusiastic as you are right now.
I think so. Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Dan Hurley talking with Center for Independent Living Options Director Debbie Morehouse and Youth Transition Coordinator Jennifer Krell. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier. Our assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Today's technical director was Josh Elstro. Our intern is Layla Shakui. Archives of our program are available on our website, wvxu.org. I'm Marianne Zalesnik, filling in for Dan Hurley.